Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on our choice. We got our mandate. Get it on. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all you do. What's going on there, Drewski?
Well, first of all, I'm noticing a certain... what's the word I'm looking for?
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. I've noticed this. You've changed. This buck slip now has the
presidential seal on it.
I'm like, what the fuck? What the hell is this?
I was leaving.
Buck slips with the presidential seal. But go ahead. You were leaving.
I was walking out of the congressional whatever, and as I was walking through like somebody's office, through their like chambers and into the whatever, a enthusiastic young man who must have been 23 handed me a sealed packet of buck slips.
Wow.
And said like, Ace Man, got you some buck slips. Now,
wow,
they're a little flimsy. The thing about the buck slip is it needs to kind of hold its own weight so you can kind of write on the fly.
Yeah.
So you can hold it in the middle. A buck slip, if you can hold it in the middle and write along the top of it. But if it just peels back, this is a little lighter gray.
It's closer to a slip of paper.
Right. And now, although if you felt the slip of paper right now, you'd be horribly disappointed.
No, listen, I'm impressed the government came up with this.
I don't know that the government came up with these.
Not a failure. Not a failure.
I don't know who this guy was. I don't know if he whipped. It could have been from the Young Republicans Club or something. He just whipped them up himself.
But I don't know, man. You've changed.
Yeah.
You've changed, man. I don't know you anymore.
So I got a pile of buck slips, and I always use my buck slips. So I'm bringing in my buck slips, and that's where I'm at today. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com and get our buck slips. Yeah, get a healthier, stronger buck slip.
We didn't skimp. Ours are
no, yours are for real. And when you hold them in a packet, it's like...
They're significant.
It's like solid. It's like piece of furniture.
And we put the logo on both sides.
Yeah,
so you can flip them over.
What's going on here?
Hmm.
These are blank ones. These are rare.
Let me see those. I don't know where those buck slips
came
from. Oh, they're sold out of buck slips? All right, don't get them.
There's more on the way.
There's more on the way. I don't know. I think I got a generic pile. I think you found a generic pile of buck slips.
Sometimes if the dollars are cut off center or something, it's a very valuable.
Hmm.
Your mic is still on there, Gary, while you yell at each other. And so this may be a valuable pile of buck slips. Perhaps. Anyway, has there been repercussions since your illustrious appearance?
I haven't. So what I did, actually, I kind of recommend it to everybody. I went and spoke in Washington, D.C.
As everybody should.
And then I immediately jumped on a plane to go to Detroit to stay at the Dearborn Inn to go to the Henry Ford Museum. Mm. And show my movie, The 24-Hour War, to Henry Ford III, many of the Ford people and many other people like associated with the museum and a group called the 200 Checkered Club. I won't get too specific, but a bunch of car guys.
Yeah.
And my phone does not work with the Twitter app. I needed a password or something
just
like that.
Leave it out.
So I don't travel with a computer. I just have my iPhone, and it's just for making calls and looking at some email or whatever. So I did this thing Thursday morning. I was in Dearborn on Thursday evening, and I was doing a Q&A in front of this audience after the showing of the film at 9:30 that night with Henry Ford III and a couple of notables or old-time guys who are like in the film from back in the day and a couple a modern-day driver of a Ford GT, and Chip Ganassi, one of the team that built the one that won after 50 years when it came back, a bunch of those guys.
Was that surreal for you?
Well, it was kind of cool for me to be with the car guys, and then when we were done, I just went back to my room and just passed out, and then the next day I went to breakfast, and then we went out to go look at more car-related stuff, and I didn't have any connection to any part of the world.
Well, I just wondered if it, I'm actually not thinking about the immediate aftermath, but I wonder if there's been repercussions now that we're, you know, down the road a bit.
I haven't gotten anything other than a medium to large amount of tweets going, good job, Ace Man. Yeah. I haven't really heard anything. Now, earlier, at the end of last week, somebody called my show and said, oh, did you hear the Young Turks talking crap about you? And I said, no, I didn't, as far as your testimony went. Yeah. So I said, no, I didn't, but that's just me. I mean, I don't come across that much. And then I went right from coming home to that to driving my Paul Newman 935 Porsche at Sonoma, which is one of the biggest, most difficult tracks out here, and then driving another race car on the same track, a big car, big Newman car for Jay Leno garage thing.
And then he flew you back, Jay?
Yeah, we flew back with Jay. So
it's pretty nice.
You have to understand how I am wired.
Oh, no. I understand.
First off, when
explain
I was
explain again, how are you wired?
When I was leaving to Washington, leaving to Washington, I was thinking about driving the 935
and wheels.
I do like there was some issues with the wheels on a Nissan. Yes. Now you want to know what it was?
What?
There was a lot of hot wheel talk, and I don't mean hot wheels. I mean hot wheel talk. Yeah.
The wheels gonna overheat.
The centers can disintegrate, and I had to swap out the centers with the new cast aluminum ones, but the offset was a little bit different on those. Lots of discussions on wheels. Yeah, so you're right. The driving of the 935 was paramount in my life. I mean, it was a super expensive, a $5 million car on a track that I'm not good at and I'm intimidated by, and it was a lot of having to really show up. And also, to sort of prove I was worthy of that car.
First time racing it.
Yeah, I've never driven. It was a shakeout testing, but I wasn't racing it. But nobody wants to be the guy who buys the super expensive, big, powerful Porsche and then goes out and drives it and have everyone goes, maybe he'd be more comfortable in the 510. Like, I don't know what he's doing. You know, there's nothing sadder. It's like, it's in a weird way, it's like somebody saying, you know, it's sort of like, Jesus Christ, have you seen the left fielder for the Yankees? He's so bad. And then someone goes, oh, no, he just paid the guy to be out there. And you're like, oh, like it's almost like you bought your way onto a team or something and you suck. Like, I think that's everyone's weird sort of secret nightmare, which is, I bought my way into this club and it clearly don't deserve to be here driving this car. I haven't worked my way up to this.
Yeah.
So I was, it was on my mind. So I went from just doing Congress to 935, and that's all I've been thinking about.
Okay.
And it was much more important to me. And then as far as what anyone else thought about it, I had no thought.
I thought there was a little comedy when you went to tell your football stories about all the mixed races that you played with, and two congresswomen rang you with, women, did you play with women? And I was like, you ignore them. What kind of question was that even?
That's a non-question.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that you can, where's Max Zapata? He was there.
He's in a meeting for the...
Oh, okay.
But in a weird way, though, that statement, I wanted to break that down a little, if you don't mind. Because there is a psychological theory called contact. A guy wrote I discussed it with...
It's a Jodie Foster movie.
No, it's about contact with people of different ethnicities and races and belief systems. We discussed it with Dr. Hinshaw, I think, on that podcast. I might have been there. No, you know what? I discussed it on a different thing with Dr. Hinshaw. But Contact was a book written like in the 50s about how to reduce prejudices and things. And guess what it is? share common goals, work together, have regular contact, don't be forced to do it by authorities, and just play football together, right? We obviously have contact with women. So to were making the point about contact, and to throw women into that bucket means they don't understand the principle that you were
suggesting. They don't understand anything. All they understand is sex and race. That's all they understood.
I understand, but
that's all they talked about.
But prejudice,
that's all they would talk about.
I know, but prejudice, if you're talking about prejudice against women, it's hard to argue that contact is the problem. You were making a point about contact and, you know, how sharing different ideas and you never thought about it. Just,
well, listen, I'll give you the best example of that in the world. If you're black, but you're Clarence Thomas, you ain't even black. You're just Republican. They don't even think of, you know, or Larry Elder, or if you're a woman and you're Ann Coulter, you're not a woman. Like, you're not even, you can transcend being a woman or black simply by just associating with a group that group doesn't associate with, and now you're not even black anymore. You think about how the black community looks at black folks that are on the right. They're not even considered black. Right? I mean, is it? Well, no. You're saying, maybe.
I don't really know.
No. Do you think Dr. Ben Carson is considered a black man in that community, in that context? Not at all.
But now you're talking about class problems, class issues.
No, I'm saying, I'm making your point, which is, everyone says, oh, it's about the color of skin, or it's about the heritage, or the ethnicity, or sexual proclivities, or whatever. All that goes out the window when you find someone you agree with, or agrees with you, or you have some commonality with. And, but by the same token, if you don't agree with them politically, being black doesn't even count anymore. The most attractive thing in the world is, hey, we're both black. Hey, you're black.
Well,
you're
African.
Hey, you're Hispanic. I'm Hispanic. Oh, I'm a Republican Hispanic. No, okay, see ya. You're gone. Give me the white lesbian over here.
Who's
not Hispanic, who does agree with me. So we do that anyway.
Well, let me tell you, what's interesting is you're talking about what's called the out-group. And that's what racism and sexism are really based on, is somebody's other and then in the out-group. By pulling together with tolerance, you've made other kinds of outgroups. They're really not inclusive, are they?
Well, what people need to understand is, we beat this drum. It's an insane drum when they say scared of people who look different than them. Nobody's that way. Nobody in the United States is that way.
No adults are that way. But we do have outgroup thinking.
No, not really. No, it's gone. It's done. My son lives in a lily white community, couple of Asian dudes sprinkled in there. I'll tell you what, he's in the next room. Because you think he needs contact, you think he needs the community, you think he needs the whatever. Let's go get Sonny, and let's just go ask my lily white son in his lily white neighborhood with his lily white friends.
Okay.
Why don't we ask him his five favorite grown-ups, right, like his right, who he looks up
the
to,
meantime,
who he'd like to hang out with.
Meantime, my favorite, Leah Remini, The Scientology and the Aftermath, Emmy-nominated, groundbreaking, it's a documentary series. Leah Remini's Scientology and the Aftermath returns for season 2 on August 15th. I'm very excited. 10 all-new episodes. Leah and a high-level and other high-level former Scientology executives and members delve into shocking stories of abuse, harassment, and heartbreak. This season, she continues her quest to give a voice to the victims of the Church of Scientology. It's really extraordinary. If you haven't seen the first season,
it's a great show.
It's worth your watching. And now season 2 coming out on August 15th. She helps people take action. She turns survivors into fighters, revealing truth, seeking justice. Watch season 1 online now and on demand and on the A&E app. A&E, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath. You will not be disappointed. I know I can't stop watching it once it comes out.
I saw every episode.
I think I saw them a couple times, actually. I drove by the Scientology building today.
The Celebrity Center.
Yeah, and I thought, God, what a great hotel that would be. What a beautiful building it is. And I wondered, are they having trouble now? Are they in trouble? Do we know?
I think they own so much real estate that they can never really be in trouble. Sonny, mm-hmm. Your mic hot?
What?
lean into your microphone. Can you hear okay?
Are you bored?
Yeah.
You bored?
No, he's good.
Did Dad drag you in here and bore you?
No. You wanted to come with Daddy. Sonny, I'm just going to ask you an open question, which is name, let's say, the five men. I don't mean guys in the neighborhood, but your five favorite guys. Who would you like to hang out with? If you had a magic wand and I said, you could hang out with this guy or that guy or anybody you've seen on TV or you know about or have read about, who would those five guys be?
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know. I've never really thought about that.
You get to have dinner tonight. Tonight, I'm going to invite people over for dinner. The five guys I'm going to invite over for dinner.
So it's people that you know?
No. People
like, I knew this is never going to work.
Sort of like celebrity
types. It's never going to work.
Like people you like admire out in the world that you've sort of.
So like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
No, don't.
Sorry.
That does gild the lily a bit.
Jesus Christ,
but
Gary.
Go ahead.
Usain Bolt.
Okay. Usain Bolt.
There you go.
That'd be cool, right?
Who else?
What's his name?
I
forgot his name.
Describe
Matt
him.
Damon.
Matt Damon. All right. Keep going.
Tom Hanks also.
What about all the guys you talk to me about all day, every day?
I don't know.
Come on. Two more guys.
Joe Montana.
He's been out of the league for 21 years. You never brought his name up. Come on, it's all LeBron. LeBron, Steph Curry, LeBron, Stephen LeBron.
I don't like either of them.
You don't?
No.
All right, well, keep going.
I like LeBron.
Joe Montana, 62 years old. Go ahead.
Bill Russell.
All right.
That'd be a cool one.
All right.
Yeah.
Keep going. Two more. Come on.
You said two more. Whatever.
Go ahead.
We
two
said
more.
Five to begin
two
with.
More.
We're going to seven.
Jerry Rice.
All right. One more.
How did you learn about Jerry Rice? That's interesting.
He's a student of the NFL.
Yeah.
You
seen like NFL films and stuff with Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, one more.
I don't know. Isaiah Thomas, the one on the Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
From a long time
Good.
Ago.
Good. Excuse yourself. Thank you, Sonny.
Who are we talking about?
That was enlightening.
Was that Pippen? Or were we talking about the Pistons?
Isaiah, for the Pistons.
Oh, Isaiah
Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas.
All right. Thank you.
The old Isaiah Thomas.
Kid loves winners.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Joe Montana.
It's a solid poll, for someone born in 1990.
But a figure that's never been mentioned around the Kroll household before.
Well, because he sits around all day and talks about the starting lineup of the Cavaliers. Like he just all he talks about is current. All he talks about is current NFL players and current NBA players. Yeah. So that's why I assumed he's going to come in and do that. I don't know where Joe Montana came from. But the point is, he named seven people and four of them were black. So that's who he'd like to come to his house. So this thing where I have to expose him, he's being exposed. He's been exposed. He turns on the TV, he's exposed. He can't wait for football season to start and 77% of the guys in the league are black, and the other ones are interior linemen and kickers, and he's not really looking up to them. He's looking up to the guys who are catching the passes and toting the rock, and he's done. He doesn't need to be exposed to the culture. He's being exposed to it, and I've not told him who he invites to dinner and who he doesn't invite to dinner. I'd be fine with this list of Bill Russell. I mean, I swear to God, the average age that he mentioned was 57 and 4 months. The kid's 11 years old.
You got to kind of really examine the psychology of the questions you ask. Because when you say who would come home for dinner, he immediately thinks about his family and about a dinner table. And
I tried to say just who do you like.
You said who would you hang out with.
And then Gary jumped in with a current hoopster, which I didn't want to do because I thought he was just going to name the starting five of the Golden State Warriors. Like, that's what I thought he was going to do. So I didn't want to push him down that road. Everybody talks to me. He talks to me pretty much exclusively about sports figures, and 80% of them are black.
Yeah,
and that's
terrible
who he looks up to.
On my part, by the way. Sorry.
Thank you.
You know, Dag was on Kimmel recently, speaking of our black friends. And I started thinking to myself, we've been doing this podcast for years, and he has not been in here. That is insanity.
Yes, I agree. Somebody said he was doing the medical stuff on there.
I can pull up the video for you.
Yes, that's what I saw. I saw he was doing the stuff that you invented and that I pitched him.
All right. Well, we'll get that ready. I'll tell you first about True Car, man. True Car. You want to buy new? You want to buy used? They have over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Bill Russell. Never had that discussion with the boy or Montana. Whether you're looking to buy new or whether looking to buy used, you get upfront pricing, you get the info, you get the discounts off of list price, you get a better buying experience. You see what others paid for the exact same car in the exact same place at the exact same time, and you get a fair price, and you lock it in, and you use your local certified dealer and enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. So, if you're going to buy new or you're going to buy used, you go with True Car, truecar.com. That is truecar.com. Some features are not available in all states. True Car. All right.
Yeah, speaking of states, I see we have a caller from Maine up there, and I thought, you know, it's the only state I've never been to. And then we lived in New England for a while, but never went to Maine.
All right. Should we talk to Tyler here? Tyler, where'd Gary go with his... Oh, there
I'm
you go.
I'm pulling up the clip because we only have the one screen, so I should move over a little bit.
Tyler, 38, Maine. What's going on?
Ace, Drew, get it on.
Get it on, man.
Ace, I actually saw you on C-SPAN checking it out. Loved all your responses. Loved the way you were just kind of playing with those guys. Anyway, question is...
Thank you.
Wanted to know, are there any studies or any dangers that have come out when you're trying to conceive, but you're on ED medication?
No, they're unrelated.
No?
They're not in any way related. I mean, the you know, nitric oxide enhancement is what Cialis and all the Viagra, everything. That's what they all do, and they're not really have anything to do with sperm production or excreted in the semen that I know of or would have any effect on that. So, you're 38. Why are you taking it?
You know, a little overweight, stressed out from work, and I just needed a little, you know, something to get me over the hill, but I've kind of been using it now a little bit consistently, so.
Well, I will say that a 38-year-old overweight male, do you smoke?
No.
Did you ever smoke?
No, I don't.
All right, good. You know, opiates now are more commonly used than tobacco?
Really?
In this country? It's awesome.
Well, we still haven't declared war on opiates yet, but we still have a war on tobacco.
Yeah.
In any event, a
guy your age who has erectile dysfunction should be put on a treadmill because it can be one of the earliest signs of heart disease. So if you had a family history, if you've had high blood pressure, if you had high cholesterol, if you have any other risk factors, definitely that should be a part of the look-see. That's why I'm wondering why your doctor just slapped you on that stuff.
Well, because he ran my blood work and he said everything looks fine. I said, are we talking low T?
No.
Is it just stress? Is it all in my head? And he ran it through. He said, this is all in your head. Use a couple of these to kind of get you through. But I've been just kind of hammering on them a little bit and kind of freaking myself out about it.
All right. Relax. I understand what he's doing. It's sort of to give you a sort of a self-confidence to not worry about it.
Trying to kickstart you a little bit, and then you're going to run on your own.
Yeah.
But it's not working. It's weird. All right, you got Dag on Kimmel? No? Yes?
I saw it up there.
I saw it up there, too. Well, go ahead.
There it is.
You are a very talented man. You're, of course, acting.
I love the Carmichael character, by the way. And they stop in the show now, right?
That's what I hear.
You know, you were talking earlier, before we go to him, you were talking earlier about the... whether it was, you know, is somebody black or not black. His character on that show is not black by your standards, and yet remains black.
It's not my standards.
I understand, but, they do a nice job.
At Ben Carson as black. Yeah, I'm saying if you work for the Huffington Post, he's not black.
But I would argue that
Do you hear me, Drew?
I do.
It's not mine. It's not me.
But I would argue this show pulls that back a little bit because his character, Dag's character in that, which he just kills, it is not black by that standard, but he manages to remain black in the series. I think that's a good thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think everyone's guilty of that, by the way. Which I'm not guilty of it, but it's true. Like to be honest, Huffington Post doesn't look at Ben Carson as black at all. I got him as sort of half black, because it's so much to do with attitudes and agreements and disagreements, much more than we'll ever really care to admit. We don't care to admit that part.
Identifications, right? What'd you identify with?
Dennis Prager's the most religious person around, and I'm the biggest atheist around, and we get along just fine because we have so much. We have a belief in common sense.
You have a relationship?
We don't have a relationship.
Oh.
Well, no, what I'm saying is to say we get along great and you say, well, you have a relationship. We didn't have a relationship. We forged a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like we're not born with a relationship. We have a relationship with common sense.
Yeah.
And you would get along great with Dennis, too, because of your relationship with common sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Talented man, you're, of course, acting, performing, all of the stuff you do. But one of the things you do that I love more than anything is something that I think, did you start doing this with Adam Carolla on his radio show?
Oh, what are you talking about? You're talking about the...
The thing where you take prescription drugs and then you make them into children's names.
Wait a minute, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
Okay.
But wait, it happened on the fly. It was on the...
Of course.
It was on the old...
You were making pastrami.
It was on the old radio show that he did a long time ago with Dr. Drew.
Right.
Love Line.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it, and nothing makes me happier than making Adam and Dr. Drew laugh. And this particular night...
Get your ass in here, Dag.
I think Adam threw the headphones across the studio, and he was crying.
Well, that was a long time ago.
It was.
And since then, there are a lot of new prescription medications. Okay. So I thought maybe I'd run a few by you, and you can show us how this works, okay?
Okay, right. Well...
You've not seen these.
No, I have not.
Okay.
Backstage, I have not seen them or gone over them. So the third one. Start with the third one.
The first one, we'll start at the top, Boniva.
Boniva? Boniva! Where did you get that BB gun? Don't point it at me! Put that gun down. Put that gun down. Come here. Come here. Come a little closer.
If I had headphones, I'd throw them right now. Lunesta.
Lunessa? Lunessa. Lunesta. Lunessa, do Auntie a favor. Go in the fridge there. Give me a beer. Thank you.
This one, I don't know if I've heard this one, but Eliquis. Eliquis?
Eliquis! Eliquis! Where's your twin brother, Deliquis?
Always funny.
All right. One more. Latuda.
Latuda. Latuda. Latuda, I can't chase you no more. Go by that bush, snatch down a switch, and give yourself a spanking.
All right.
That could be a show.
I love it. Love Daggeroni. All right. So, Drew, as long as we're on an urban kick, maybe we'll start it next show. But so one of we didn't get a lot done when I addressed Congress, but one thing I noticed is there was three black congresswomen, and all they did was talk about being black. And it was wildly disappointing, but it was also sort of weirdly self-indulgent, self-aggrandizing, but then also like, what year is it, and what are we here? What are we talking about? Don't be fair, asshole. You wouldn't do that if any. What? Stop being fair. If I said there were three white guys and all they did was talk about being white, go ahead, be fair.
All right, I'm just saying. All right,
Go ahead.
If they were of some religious persuasion, there was a majority in their district, and they talked about that, that would make sense to me or something. You know, if they were representing some group.
But your skin color's not your religion. Turned it into a religion. Yeah. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You are right, even though you're wrong, which is it is their religion. But it shouldn't be your religion. It should be what you happen to be. Just like if you're Asian, you're just Asian.
I thought of you.
We live here.
When the communications or the policy director gave that journalist a dressing down for talking about speaking English. Did you see that?
Yes.
That was you, right? They were channeling you.
I love it.
He said it was the most racist thing in the world to talk about people of different colors not being able to learn English. How racist. How cosmopolitan.
Reporter just picked Australia and in England, it basically everything's about skin color, just everything. And it's weird. It's got to be weird to be white and feel that way. Because are you that self-loathing? Like, are we that bad? My feeling is, you just heard from Sonny. All Sonny, I got a little browbeating last night from my wife. Because I wasn't involved enough with Sonny's Fairy Tale Football League. Mm. And I had to basically say to her, I hope this doesn't become something that really takes. I hope he doesn't get too involved with this thing. Because I wouldn't wish video games upon him either. I wouldn't wish comic books upon him. I hope when somebody brings up Star Wars to him when he's 31, he goes, yeah, I don't know. I got a pretty good career going over here, and I got some kids, and I think I've seen two of them. And they go, yeah, but wasn't Return of the Chode the best? And you go, I really can't. I don't know one from the other. Did I mention I have a career? Like, that's what I hope he says, not laying down the stats on everybody in the league.
Yeah.
So I feel the same way about your race or your religion, or whatever it is, which is obsessing over things you can't change and or nothing. I'd rather he get cancer than live this life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I don't know all the people that are willing to just give up their life and go, it's all about this now. I don't get it. I'll never get it. I'm way too selfish for that. Thank you. All right, I'll play. So what I told Max Zapata to do is just put together a little montage of the ladies talking.
Oh, interesting.
And we'll play it for the next show. Not Taco Bell material. We're doing the one-man show. Drew, you did something weird there, which is we're leaving in 30 seconds.
You know what? I started the movement when I thought you were going to have him play it now, Max Zapata's thing.
Except for I said the next show.
No, you said the next show as I was moving towards.
No, I said in the next show 4 minutes ago.
Okay.
You're a very odd man, Drew, for a regular dude. Not Taco Bell material. Saturday, September 23rd, Chicago Park West. Love that place. Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. Saturday, October 14th, Nashville. Love me some Nashville. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Find out where we're going to be. Me and Dennis Prager, November 29th. Brooklyn King's Theater, man. That's a nice big place. So go there, check that out. Go to Chassis and check out King of the Underdogs. And Drew, what do you got?
Go to Dr.com. Sign up for the Dr. Drew podcast. I'm putting some of my favorite podcast hosts on the show. These guys liked it. Were you here for them? No. Chris liked it. Gary liked it. I've got some more comments. Very interesting stuff.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big.